Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. Now, it's what's set to be the world's largest trade pact. The Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership builds upon existing trade deals among its 15 member countries, which together account for 30% of the global economy and one-third of the world's population. Now, just last Friday, Singapore became the first participating country to complete the official process, ratifying the deal and depositing its ratification instrument. The deal is expected to give businesses a significant boost at a time when many are still recovering from the COVID-19 crisis. Now, to find out what this latest move means for the timeline of the pact and what comes next, we're joined by Mr. Choi Shing Kwok, Head ASEAN Studies Center and Director of ICS Yusof Ishak Institute. Mr. Choi, welcome back.
Yes, happy to do so, Rachel.
It's a pleasure to have you with us. And last time we spoke, I believe, was in November, just after the announcement of the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership. And we've got this latest development. Singapore has ratified the RCEP and deposited its ratification instrument, becoming the first participating country to do so as part of this official process. How significant is this move and what does this mean for the timeline?
Well, I think it shows Singapore's eagerness for the RCEP to make progress. This is, after all, a difficult time for ASEAN. And we know that the RCEP was a rare achievement in the midst of the pandemic crisis, which had severely impacted all economies all over the world. And it was already kind of compounding the ongoing risks of growing big power rivalry, as well as growing disillusionment with globalization around the world. So since then, of course, we all know that ASEAN has been further saddled by what could be described as very serious setbacks in Myanmar situation. And I think that threatens to cause new challenges for the region and also to slow down ASEAN decision-making. So if RCEP, which is the bright spot, can come into force, it will certainly be something that would be welcome in the midst of many dark clouds. But we know that some other participating countries, that is China, as well as Thailand, have completed domestic ratifications for the agreement as well. Mm-hmm. But they have not deposited their instruments of ratification with the ASEAN Secretary yet. That is actually the final step they need to do. So I think how long that additional step will take depends a bit on their internal laws and procedures. But hopefully that also signals that they are on the way, and some other participating countries should be on the way as well.
And what are we looking at in terms of timeline? Are we still looking at January 2022?
I think that is still the target. The signatories have this as an ambitious goal of 1 year to complete the required number of ratifications and to deposit the instruments of ratification. So if they are able to achieve that, that means it will be in November this year that they complete the number, deposit their instruments, but 60 days after that, which would be January 2022. Yeah, that should still be the targeted timeline, but I think it is something that's doable if Singapore setting the pace is followed by the rest.
We're speaking to Mr. Choi Shing Kwok, Director of ICS Yusof Ishak Institute. Mr. Choi, the RCEP builds upon existing trade deals among its 15 member countries, which together account for, as I mentioned in the introduction, 30% of the global economy, and that's one-third of the world's population. It's a significant proportion. What does this mean for Singapore, and what impact are we likely to see this pact have on businesses and the economy here?
I think the biggest impact is not so much looking at the tariff rates or even the specific sectors of services liberalization, but more in terms of the rules and the simplified process that this represents to all the 14 economies, you know, other than Singapore. Because Singapore businesses will then have a relatively more common rule book to refer to. And with that, they will be able to harmonize how they enter these markets, whether it's for goods or services. So that, I think, is the biggest benefit at the company level and how successful they can be, both in terms of their sort of new entry for goods that they are exporting as well as services that they want to export. Depends on them being able to navigate these rules in the individual markets that they're targeting. I think investments is also, I think, a big opportunity RCEP will give. Again, when it comes into force, it means that Singapore businesses can be able to penetrate in other RCEP countries with their investments. And for Singapore as an economy, there will also be opportunity for the other 14 countries to invest in the Singapore economy. So that's really going to play to Singapore's strengths. One other thing just to mention, I think intellectual property rights, I think it's strengthened by this deal. So this will also be positive for Singapore economies, Singapore companies that are very much in the sort of the knowledge production area.
And you briefly mentioned sectors earlier as well. And under the agreement, more companies will be able to provide services in the region, with foreign shareholding limits raised for at least 50 subsectors. Which are the main sectors that are likely to benefit from the pact, from your opinion?
Well, the sectors that are specifically mentioned, and also with clarifications in terms of the actual definitions, include the telecommunications sector, financial services sector, and also professional services sectors. So these are the likely sectors that would see the most liberalization among the 15 countries. The potential markets for this are more likely to be the non-ASEAN RCEP partners, although, as you have mentioned in the introduction, this is building upon the existing agreements that have been reached by ASEAN with these five non-ASEAN partners in the past. So for each incremental opening, it will depend on how the RCEP agreement matches against those openings that had already been achieved under the earlier agreements. But it does say, I think, in general, without going into specific details, is that for each of these partners, I think it does represent an opportunity for them to penetrate ASEAN, and similarly for ASEAN countries, including Singapore, to go into their services markets. But obviously, this is only done on a more selective basis. That's something that each company would have to look at their strengths relative to those services sectors in those countries they are targeting.
I see. Are there any other key benefits from the trade deal that you'd like to highlight, or anything else that you think is perhaps unique to Singapore, given the current environment and what this would mean for our businesses here?
I think the strategic benefits are the ones that are most important. It signals that the region is confident in the opening itself up, and that the participating countries all believe that what would be seen as a further globalization and openness is actually beneficial to themselves. So this is something which I think in the world today, there are not many such views that are happening. By signaling that the region is confident in this, I think it will help to also encourage other countries to do likewise, because the 15 partner countries are not entering this with a view to disadvantaging themselves, but really to giving more benefits to their own people. So I think this will help signal to the rest to hopefully follow soon as well.
Wonderful. Well, Mr. Choi, thank you so much for joining us again on the show.
Not at all. My pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Mr. Choi Shing Kwok, Director of ICS Yusof Ishak Institute, right here on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.